These times that we're going through are very challenging to so many of us. I've been hearing of so many people struggling with depression, anxiety, and fear, and many who've lost their livelihoods and face hunger and severe poverty. The world is desperate for good leadership, and at the same time we keep second-guessing the decisions made by leaders who are in an absolute no-win situation with this pandemic. And spiritually, this time can throw us off our equilibrium, and many of us yearn for some kind of guidance and clarity in such uncertain times. But at the same time, it's interesting that one of the consequences of this virus is that we're not able to gather together in our usual places of worship. And my sense is that this is an invitation for each of us to listen more intently to the inner voice of the one who said, "I am the good shepherd," to allow ourselves to be shepherded from within through this valley of uncertainty that we're journeying through. So I'll read these verses from John 10 that you have just read through. "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." This theme of the shepherd is a beautiful one that runs throughout Scripture. There's the well-known Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And there's a lovely passage in Isaiah 40, verse 11, that reads, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." In Luke 15, we see the parable of the lost sheep and the shepherd who leaves the 99 to find this one lost sheep. And then there's this John 10 passage that we've been looking at. Some years ago, we had the opportunity to visit Rome, and one of the places we visited was the catacombs. And what struck me when looking around at the very early symbols used for Jesus was that they mostly depicted a shepherd. The cross only became the main Christian symbol in around the 4th century. But it was striking that throughout the catacombs, there were images depicting Jesus as a shepherd carrying a sheep on his shoulders. The word used to describe this picture of Jesus is parable. But in the Greek text, the word is not parabole, but rather paroimia, more aptly translated as proverb, or as one commentary puts it, it suggests the notion of a mysterious saying full of compressed thought rather than that of a simple comparison. I like that, full of compressed thought. So there are many layers of meaning and deep mysteries waiting to be discovered in working with this image of the Good Shepherd. And I encourage you to look at this on your own more deeply, inviting the inner shepherd to reveal what this could mean for you in your own life. But I want to look at just a few ideas that have arisen for me when looking at this. The shepherd in this passage calls each of the sheep by name and leads them out of the gate. There's a wonderful intimate familiarity to this, being called by name. And then we are led out of this familiar sheep pen that we have been in. And at this time, we are at a threshold, a doorway between the old known way of life and a new unknown future. The Good Shepherd stands in the doorway beckoning, calling us by name, assuring us that we know this voice and can trust this guiding presence. The image of a gateway is a continual invitation to us to enter through this gate into a fuller, more open and spacious life. We tend to cling to the known and the safe, no matter how small our lives have been in that familiar sheep pen. We so easily fill our lives with all kinds of busyness and productivity, and so we miss out on the vast spaces of simply being. Not only is this an invitation to move courageously into an unknown future, it's also an invitation into our own inner quiet depths, where the shepherd waits to guide us into new landscapes within. We resist these quiet inner spaces because they're so unknown and vast, to the point of feeling empty and threatening. We also lose a sense of a known God that we've become familiar with. And at first it does feel like a groping around in the dark, because each new depth that we move into takes some attuning and requires a deep trust in the inner shepherd, whose guiding voice becomes ever more subtle, to the point of communicating with us at a depth that words cannot express. And this is because we are being led into a presence and intimacy that is so close, so immediate, that we can't tell the difference between our breath and God's breath, between our eyes and God's eyes, between our silence and God's silence. So this inner journey does require courage and time in silence to attune and surrender ourselves to the unintrusive, gentle, but faithful inner guiding of the Good Shepherd. We also resist the inner journey because it encourages us to let go of our own known ego identity. Following the Good Shepherd into the unknown realms of our own selfhood or no selfhood. And unless we're willing to disentangle from our ego identity, we will keep clinging to the strange values of this world that we live in. On this trip to Rome, I found it very interesting to see the difference between the Vatican and the catacombs. One room at the Vatican is filled with the golden carriages that popes have traveled around in, and it struck me how strong the need is in us to have spiritual experts or celebrities. On the other hand, you have the catacombs, where the early church leaders were sometimes forced to hide and where they were buried. And we saw the very humble, dingy alcoves where they used to have their communion services. And throughout the catacombs, you can see the simple symbol of Jesus as the shepherd. I love the writing of St. Therese of Lisieux. She taught the importance of the little way, of knowing our humility and complete dependence on God. I'll read some quotes from her writings. "What pleases God in my little soul is that he sees me loving my littleness, my poverty, the blind hope I have in his mercy. I remember that little children are as pleasing to their parents when they are asleep as well as when they are wide awake. O Jesus, your little bird is happy to be weak and little. What would become of it if it were big? Never would it have the boldness to appear in your presence, to fall asleep in front of you. Whosoever is a little one, come to me. It is your arms, Jesus, that are the lift to carry me to heaven, and so there's no need for me to grow up. I must stay little and become less and less. These images beautifully tie in with the picture of a little lamb being carried in the arms of the Good Shepherd. And this is the way of being that we are invited into, knowing our littleness, our lostness and vulnerability. We allow ourselves to fall into the merciful arms of our Shepherd, and we are carried tenderly and gently close to this heart. In verse 14 and 15 of this John 10 passage, we read, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Here Jesus is pointing us to the same inner relationship that he had with his inner guiding source, who he called Father. The Gospels tell us that Jesus would very often go to deserted places to pray, sometimes spending whole nights in prayer, to realign with his Father. And this is what we are being pointed to here, to allow time in solitude and silence to become realigned with the inner Shepherd. It's not just outer silence that is important, but an inner silence, which is a letting go of our voices of grasping, resisting, and clinging to any kind of identification, self-importance, or self-preservation. But we also need to let go of our assumptions about what we expect God to be saying to us, and the frantic way we go about trying to hear God. I find that I often get caught in trying to find the voice of wisdom out there somewhere. I search in books, teachings, podcasts, thinking I'll hear the answer from some expert out there. And yes, we do need to learn to listen to the wisdom of other guides on the journey. But again and again, I have to be reminded to return to listening to the still, small voice of the Spirit, to again place my trust in the inner Shepherd to lead me, and to follow the unique wisdom journey that the Spirit opens for me when I do take time to be still and attentive. In his book, A Testament to Devotion, the author Thomas Kelly, who was a Quaker, wrote, there is a deeper, an internal simplification of the whole of one's personality, stilled, tranquil, in childlike trust, listening ever to eternity's whisper, walking with a smile into the dark. This amazing simplification comes when we center down, when life is lived with singleness of eye, from a holy center where the breath and stillness of eternity are heavy upon us and we are wholly yielded to him. He goes on to write, hasten unto him who calls you in the silences of your heart. The hound of heaven is ever near us. The voice of the shepherd is calling us home. So it is to this inner voice of the Shepherd that we are being invited in this time to open our hearts in a new way. And it's not necessarily that we will hear truths or content as much as opening to and becoming attuned to the gentle presence and immediacy of God in the stillness, letting go and releasing ourselves into the arms of the Good Shepherd.